Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily, KFH. Tommy, we mentioned this yesterday. Texas-Oklahoma, Red River rivalry, shootout, all that stuff. It's happening this weekend. And quite frankly, nobody cares. Isn't that crazy? I mean, what a time to be alive, right? If you're a Big 12 school right now, and Texas and Oklahoma turn the college football world upside down, you didn't know what was going to happen. You still don't know what's going to happen, quite frankly. And all of a sudden, those guys leave. We're sitting here on this big weekend, which is almost a lock to be the biggest college football game of the weekend, Texas and Oklahoma. Yet it's the least interesting game in the Big 12. And it might be the least interesting game if you expand that out to what the new Big 12 will look like. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. UCF at 3-1 host SMU. UCF's playing pretty well. Houston's having a down year, but they go to Memphis with a big opportunity. They're 4-1. Cincinnati sitting there at number 24. BYU has a massive game at Notre Dame, or sorry, in Vegas against Notre Dame. And get this, Texas and Oklahoma, neither are ranked, right? But if this was the new Big 12 next year, the Big 12 would have teams at number 7, 16, 17, 19, 20, and 24. That would be what's in there for the new Big 12. I mean, right now, the Big 12 without Texas and Oklahoma would be better on the field than it is currently. And that's nuts. Now, that's not to say that, you know, they wouldn't love to have Texas and Oklahoma back. Of course they would. But just on the field strictly, this new Big 12 looks fantastic.
It does. And, you know, I think that the loss of Oklahoma and Texas, yeah, you might be, and we talked about this at length, you might be losing the big brands. You might be losing, you know, the revenue that having the Sooners and the Longhorns in your conference, that they provide you, the eyes, the viewership, you know, all of that. The intrigue of the Red River rivalry each year, like you're losing all of that. But from a pure football standpoint right now, right this second, yeah, there's no way to deny the success that the current Big 12 teams outside of Oklahoma and Texas and the future Big 12 teams are having on the football field. And what I think is crazy is you look at odds right now to win the Big 12 championship game. And, you know, Texas still has pretty decent odds. You know, they're like 4-1 favorites to win the Big 12 championship game. But Oklahoma is 16-1 right now to win the Big 12 championship game. And I don't think that anybody would have necessarily predicted that to be the case. And I certainly don't think anybody would have predicted teams like TCU and Kansas to have better odds right now to win the Big 12 than Oklahoma. It's shocking. And I think that bodes well for the future of the conference, that as a whole, you've got teams that are at a point now where they're able to get better. They're able to improve. They're better to be in the conversation, you know, to win the conference and to get national recognition. And so, yeah, I love, you know, despite what goes on long-term with realignment and expansion and all of that, I like where the Big 12 is headed right this second.
Yeah, I mean, financially, it won't be in as good a shape, but that's okay. I mean, we're past that. That ship has sailed. We understand the realities of this thing. And I just, like, basketball, we already knew the Big 12 was going to become the best league in the country. At least that's what I think. I think in basketball, when you add Houston and Cincinnati and, heck, even UCF's on a bit of a rise, BYU's had some years, I think you become the best league in the country. It already was, but, you know, it'll maintain. But when I look at the football league, when I look at this football league, this new Big 12, because Baylor's basically number 26 or 7, the SEC will be unchallenged as the top league in the country. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Top to bottom, right? The SEC, we know how deep and competitive it is, and Texas and Oklahoma are just going to add to that depth. But after that, you can enter Big Ten into this conversation for sure. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State appears to be back to some degree. But in the Big Ten, that's, you know, that's kind of it, right? Like, you know, it's very top heavy as it normally is. The Pac-12 looks very strong at the top. And maybe the Pac-12, honestly, the Pac-12 probably has more depth than it has in a long, long time. USC, I think, is a legitimate national title contender. They survived their yearly scare in Corvallis. Utah's good. Oregon is good. You know, and their bottom end has certainly taken a step up. By the way, UCLA's 5-0. I don't know what to make of that.
Chip Kelly, man. That's where it stands.
The ACC's been okay, right, with North Carolina State and Wake Forest both being a little bit better. But I'm going to tell you, I think the Big 12, the new 12, whatever you want to call it, has a claim to be the second best. Like, if those were the leagues this year, would have a claim to be the second best football league in the country. And it's been a while since even the Big 12, the old Big 12, the current Big 12, has been at that level, I think, in football. But I absolutely think the teams that will make it up, if it was this year, they would be at that level.
Yeah, can you imagine if the Pac-12 falls apart the way that it's being predicted that will happen? Obviously, we know UCLA and USC are leaving, but if the Pac-12 continues to splinter and the Big 12 is able to come in and scoop up those four corner schools, I know Arizona State is down right now. Colorado is really bad. Arizona not doing a whole lot, but Utah is a really solid football program and has been for a while. So you're adding that pedigree. And I think Arizona State can come back. I don't know about Colorado. That's a much bigger rebuild, there to get back to the glory days of the 90s for the Buffaloes. But ultimately, I mean, yeah, like the future of the Big 12 looks solid with the new additions coming in. And I think ultimately from a football perspective, the profile will get even better if the Pac-12 falls apart, even from a football perspective, and even knowing that the four potential schools that could join the Big 12, only one of them is currently successful in football, that still raises the overall profile. And I look at some of these potential future matchups, like a BYU and Utah matchup in the Big 12 West, that would be really cool.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, they'll be at the level of the two power leagues if those things come to fruition. I think those are very unpredictable. We know what the new Big 12 is going to look like. I mean, if they add Utah and Colorado, I mean, at that point, I'd go even bigger, and I would try and get Colorado and Colorado State, right? I would do crazy things if I'm your Mark, and I think he will do crazy things if it allows him to. I hope that Big 12 fans takes, and I guess Big 12 fans probably don't care as much about Texas and Oklahoma on the field as maybe I think that they do, because on the field, Texas hasn't been what the Big 12 has needed it to be in so long, and Oklahoma obviously has been the banner carrier for so long, but I think there is more stability in the league than some of those years where Oklahoma was so far ahead of everybody else. I don't think that's the, well, clearly it's not the case anymore. But even like big picture, like long term stability of the program. I mean, when you talk about arrows being pointed up, is there a team in this new Big 12? And I don't know about UCF probably, but outside of UCF, looking across all the teams in this new league, is there any of is there one program? Out, and again, UCF, I'm gonna call them an outlier because I really don't know. But outside of that, the arrow is pointed upward for every single one of these teams, right? Like, there's no team that's spiraling downward in the Big 12 at the moment, except for Texas and Oklahoma. Like, you feel great about the program's future and stability for TCU and Texas Tech and even Iowa State at this point. Iowa State's much better than we thought they would be this year. West Virginia, okay. We don't feel good about the future of West Virginia. Yeah, I forgot about them out there on an island. I forgot all about them because they're not playing this week. They're not right in front of me. But, okay, so West Virginia, arrow probably pointed downward, and I'm gonna call a hall pass on UCF, but they're 3-1, but I don't know anything about what UCF's doing. I'll be honest about that. But everybody else is pointed upward slightly. Houston, maybe not. Houston, maybe in a bit of a downward trend. I don't know. Yeah, maybe Houston, you could say.
Yeah, it's the two programs that have ties to Dana Holgorsen, unfortunately. It's his former school in West Virginia and its current school in Houston. I would say those two programs probably are maybe – Houston is probably stagnant, maybe slightly down. West Virginia is down for sure, but they've got such a good culture there. And you know, their fan base is so passionate. I don't think Neil Brown is going to last it, you know, in Morgantown. If they can get a new coach in there to turn it around, I don't think that's a long-term, like big time overhaul rebuild. I think it's just going to probably take a new coach and, you know, another year or two, and they can be right back where they were before.
Yeah. I think both of those programs can get it back going really quickly. It's just, I am so excited about what this league is going to look like, and I'm really excited if they expand further because I'm a Big 12 honk. I will die on the Big 12 hill because for so long, it's the college football that has mattered to me the most. And I just, like most Big 12 fans, don't want to see that die. And there was a real threat, and still is a real threat, of it dying, of being like ultimately relevant, but man, on the field, it's going to be really awesome. And it's been really awesome this year. And it's been really awesome in spite of Texas and Oklahoma. And I think it'll continue to be really awesome in spite of them. I'll also say this. I think Texas and Oklahoma will probably be in the mix. Don't you think by the time this dust all settles, don't you feel like Texas and Oklahoma are probably going to be in the mix?
Sure. And, you know, we've already seen the steps from Texas. Like, I don't think that Texas is a dominant team by any means, but they're clearly improved from where they, you know, the dumpster fire that they've been the last couple of years. And I think, you know, case in point is the way that they played Alabama a few weeks ago. So I think that will continue. And, you know, Brent Venables is getting a lot of criticism over just the first few games with Oklahoma, but it's going to take time. It's a new style of football for him, you know, for them. Lincoln Riley, you know, is an offensive coach and, you know, high flying and all of that. And Brent Venables brings a different kind of football to Norman. It's going to take a little bit of time for, you know, that scheme to be instituted in the right way. So I'm not super concerned about the Brent Venables era so far through a handful of games with Oklahoma. So I do think that they'll be back to where they were before. You know, it's just going to be a matter of time and some patience from the fan base. And I think that they'll be fine in the SEC long term. Going back to the expansion, if it happens, into the, you know, raiding the Pac-12 down the road, can we talk about for a second? This is something that I don't think is being brought up nearly enough. You're a Big 12 hawk, so I would imagine that you can appreciate this. Can we talk about Colorado potentially rejoining the Big 12 after basically thumbing their nose at the Big 12 over a decade ago and saying, oh, we're going over to the Pac-12. Like, we're too good for the Big 12 anymore. And there's a possibility that they could end up back in a brand new expanded Big 12. That's just wild to me.
I mean, I would take them back. I'd take them back just fine. I wouldn't have any problem bringing them back. I guess it doesn't hurt my feelings as much when teams leave as it does some people, because most of the time they had a good reason for leaving, right? Like, it was probably a financial reason, especially in the modern era. Like, I don't hold ill will to Texas and Oklahoma for going to the SEC because it's the best thing to do for their universities, and it's really not even a question if you look at it realistically and if you were put in the position that they're in. It's just the reality. Now, on the field, we can make fun of them, right? Because they're probably going to go to the SEC and get their butts kicked for a while. So, I'm all for making fun of them and, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out kind of an aspect. But I don't hold, like, ill will to them. I don't hold ill will to Colorado for leaving, or Nebraska or Missouri. I wish they wouldn't have, but they probably had really good reasons to do it. A&M had a great reason to leave the Big 12. And they absolutely, I mean, who's sitting here now doesn't think that A&M and Missouri made the right decision? And I would love to have them back in the Big 12.
Every time Missouri gets blown out in an SEC game, it's hard to not think.
But they're laughing all the way to the bank, right? Like, they're laughing all the way to the bank. That puts
every single coach that's getting a buyout is laughing all the way to the bank too. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, yeah. Like,
for the schools, though, I'm talking about for the schools. Yeah, you might go get your butt kicked, but your school is in a much better position, a much more secure position, and obviously financial position to make those moves. I don't even, you know, I'd have to open up the history books to remember why some of the earlier schools left. Missouri left to make the money. A&M left because it feels, you know, like it's got a chip on the shoulder to Texas. Now, that paid off for them big long term, big time, because of what's happened. But I mean, it doesn't bother me when teams leave. I wish they wouldn't, and I want to, you know, make fun of them if they don't. But I don't, like, in reality. And I've said this before, and I don't know if you feel this way, and I bet most people don't. I'm going to root for – when Texas and Oklahoma get to the SEC, I'm going to root for them to win that league.
No, come on.
I know I'm in the minority there, but what, am I going to now all of a sudden start rooting for Alabama when they play Texas? There's no chance that happens. There's no chance I would root for any SEC team over it. It's just like – I root for A&M now when they're playing them, and I don't like A&M at all. I couldn't stand them when they were in the Big 12.
But I root for them every time
they play in an SEC game. I do the same thing for Mizzou. And I grew up not liking Oklahoma like at all. But man, when they're playing Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi State, yeah, I'm gonna root for those teams. That's my backyard.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, and I understand your thought process in, you know, hey, you don't want to, you know, criticize teams that leave because it's in the best interest of their school. I just think it's funny that those schools, Missouri, Colorado, Nebraska, A&M, sort of left the Big 12 for dead at the time. And then all of a sudden, the Big 12 is continuing to truck on and looks they're, you know, might potentially be expanding more. And now there's a chance Colorado could come back. It's like, hey, you left us 10 years ago. Yeah, you can sure come back, but we don't forget. We don't forget what you did.
Yeah, I get it. Again, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I guess I'm able to separate reality from fandom and say, well, of course they left. Anybody in that decision-making capacity would have left. And I'm talking Texas and Oklahoma here. Because the money was too good. Like, what are you supposed to do? You've got all these programs on campus that depend on your football programs and the money that they generate, and you're like, no, I'm going to leave that on the table because we really think it's fun to go play Kansas State every year. Like, they're not going to do that. Nobody would. No, by the way, Kansas and Kansas State wouldn't either. Kansas has been trying to get out as hard as they can, if you believe some of the reports, just as we look at things neutrally. Let's come back. Let's give something away here, actually, first, before we finish out hour number one. Tommy, you guys are, gosh, what? Just a little more than 2 weeks away from the Thunder home opener, right?
Yeah, actually a little bit more than 3 weeks away. No, you're right. 2 weeks. I'm getting my days completely mixed up here. October 22nd in Trust Bank Arena. It's the home opener against the Allen Americans. It should be a lot of fun.
All right, so let's give away a 4-pack to that home opener for the Thunder. Let's throw in a couple of free tee cards from HTO Open West, 13th and Tyler, coming soon east. It should work for either location. But you'll get that prize pack right now if you're our second caller during the break. We want to come back, tip the cap a little bit to Albert Pujols before we get to Dan Israel at the top of the hour to preview the Chiefs and to look back a little bit, Chiefs Radio Network. So there you go, caller two. Jad will get you taken care of, and we'll be right back on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.